You're Jimmy, right? This is your house?
Sure is.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
Good, we got one.
So I heard. May I come in?
Yeah, please do.
You must be Jules. We should make you Vincent. Let's get down to brass tacks, gentlemen. If I was informed correctly, the clock is ticking. Is that right, Jimmy?
100%.
Your wife, Bonnie, comes home at 9:30 in the a.m., is that correct?
Uh-huh.
I was led to believe if she comes home and finds us here, she wouldn't appreciate none too much. So we can for just 4 minutes to get the fuck out of Dodge.
It is Sunday, October 12th, 2014, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And I'm Eric.
And I am Ted.
And it's great to be back after a much too long extended vacation for us.
You know, I'll tell you how long it was. The last time Eric and Ted and Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social was broadcast, the last time Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social was live, the price of a gallon of gas was $3.50.
And now it is $3.51.
My, how times have changed.
Wow. The world has moved on.
I have to apologize myself, actually, for our absence last week. I happened to coach high school football, and I lost my voice. Yes, it was an impassioned game and series of games last week, and it really cost the social dearly. So I apologize.
That was all right. You know, I was spending time with my family.
I recall.
So it kind of worked out. We tried to get a midweek show in. Just didn't happen, but we are back. It feels great to be back into the studio.
And interestingly enough, the last time that we were on was right before Tom Brady had played against the Kansas City Chiefs in a Monday Night Football game.
Yes.
Where
they got
things might not have gone quite as well as they had thought.
I don't think so.
Talk to us. What happened in that game against Kansas City?
Well, besides the Patriots getting shellacked. embarrassed. What was the final score? Was that a? I can't. It's been wild.
It was very much to very little, as they call it. The the bottom line.
There was people with pitchforks and torches outside of Gillette Stadium, ready to burn it down, but not before they trade Tom Brady.
Of course. Hold the phone.
No. It's telling you.
How dare you say that?
No, Tom Brady. He's done. He's done here. If you listen to radio.
But wait a minute. Wait. Hold on.
He is done.
Go back with me to the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Go back with me to earlier in the NFL season.
Imagination.
So back earlier in the season, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, all they had to do to go 12-4. Was show up. I think it was good needs.
Yeah, people predicted 11-3, but 12-4. Yeah, it was just show up, and they were talking about how this Patriot team was different
with
from
Terrell
the Patriots
Weavis.
Teams of the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we know what the Patriots have done the last 5 years. Just done nothing but win their divisions and win AFC
and go to AFC Championship games,
and go to Super Bowls, and constantly be 11-3 and 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this year was supposed to be different. They were supposed to destroy people. We're talking about 07 type numbers.
All right. Now.
And then they struggled against Oakland, a game that we were at.
I know.
Lucky to walk away with the win on that game and then get embarrassed by Kansas City, which were screams of getting rid of Tom Brady. And does Belichick have it anymore in his old age, so to speak?
God.
And then they go out last weekend.
Okay.
They play the Bungles.
Oh, hold on. Well, let's...
No, apparently the cure for all that ails you.
Hold on.
Pop quiz, hotshot!
Got a question for you. How do the Bengals do on the limelight? When the limelight is there,
you're talking national television, you're talking any Sunday night or Monday night football game, when your Bengals are playing, just don't even bother.
You know, it actually felt an awful lot like, you remember a couple of years ago when the talk was the 11-1... Houston Texans were coming here, and it was going to be a changing of the guard in the NFL, and da-da-da-da-da, and they got decimated.
Yep.
Then, very soon after that, they slipped off into a quiet obscurity.
Yeah, I think they lost the first game of the first round of the playoffs.
Against the Patriots, by the way. They came back
and had to play
the Patriots again.
Yep. And then the next year, they won one game, two games?
Two games. Yeah, and we've covered that, actually, many weeks on the Ice Cream Social.
Yeah, but at episode 18, we have covered quite a bit.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, an entire offseason of NBA, I know Teddy's excited about that, the NBA coming back, but we'll touch on that later.
You fucking sneaky bastard.
How did you get that in there? You perfect. Know I hate the NBA.
I wasn't even playing. That was good, man. That was good. I like that.
Yo, man, you fucking sneaky bastard. How did
sneaky bastard.
Sugar. So as we were there, and forget about the NBA for a minute.
For a minute.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know what? For every time you bring up somebody in the NBA, I'm going to just start like putting my fingers in my ears and go, Chris Kelly's overpaid. Chris Kelly's overpaid for the Boston Bruins. And we'll have to talk hockey. All right. So
what you're saying is maybe they should have maybe gotten rid of or traded Chris Kelly instead of Johnny Boychuk.
Oh, my God, if you take me down this road now. We're just so soon back at this. We just opened with
Hockey
Brady.
Is here, people.
Hockey is here. The Bruins
and
are 1-1.
And we are very happy.
First game of the season, you had Riley Cooper scored a goal. And
you had Chris Kelly with the game winner.
And Chris Kelly with the game winner. And I'm going to tell you one thing about Chris
Kelly. You're Chris Kelly.
I'm not. He's you know what? Eric wants a rumble.
I do.
It makes me put him in a pot like gumbo.
You tell me what's wrong with Chris Kelly, my friend. The reason they're 1-1.
No. Wait, hold on. It's not what's wrong with Chris Kelly.
Okay.
What's wrong with
everybody else?
No, with Peter Chiarelli and with Cam Neely, with the ownership, the leadership of the Boston Bruins, mm-hmm. okay? They have Chris Kelly, who is a dynamic hockey player, back and forth across the ice, okay? You take Chris Kelly and put him on a team with offensive players who are defensively irresponsible.
Okay.
Chicago. Montreal,
yep.
Detroit, where you have guys who are, they have those three guy scoring lines and like that pure scoring line. The Boston Bruins were built, go all the way down into Providence. There's 40 guys on the Bruins who do exactly what Kelly's job is. It's to a T. Lucic does that job.
Maybe they want Lucic to do something else.
Bergeron, Lucic, everybody. You name the entire Bruins offensive roster. All yep. they do.
So they're all dynamic players like Kelly.
They're all players who play on both sides, but Kelly is the one.
Well, that's what makes the Bruins, though. We're different than some other teams and other fan bases. We know that almost everybody on the roster can play both ends for the most part.
Excellent. So one thing that we're completely and totally lacking in every conceivable way is a blowout breakaway score. We lost Seidenberg last year. Johnny Boychuk stepped up.
Yeah,
Johnny Boychuk plays defense.
Yep.
The one thing that's always at a premium in the NHL is solid defensemen. And you, instead of paying Johnny Boychuk, you take Chris Kelly and you roll up this gigantic contract. What is he, $9 million a year? And Kelly gets to go and gets all of this money, and you still have him right in the middle of a team that does exactly what he does every night, night in and night out. Take Chris Kelly, put him with Jonathan Toews. He will be the hockey player you hope he is. You leave him there with Bergeron, Marchand, Lucic. Name your next Bruin.
I see what you're saying, but it's been a while since I've been able to just disagree with whatever you say. So I love Chris Kelly. Wait, I think he's a necessity.
Take me if you want to do that, then take me back to the NBA.
Hey, you're looking for a fight.
Also, in this last 2-week period, Rajon Rondo,
yeah, broke his hand in the shower. I don't know if he was rubbing one out or just soaping up.
You know what? See, and that I stayed so far away from that as if he were in the same room with me rubbing one out. I was climbing the wall to get one in the other side. Get out of here.
But he has now returned at limited practice, but he will be out, I believe, it's like 6 weeks.
Now, if you needed an explanation, by the way, of how does somebody necessarily hurt themselves in the shower?
You slip, man.
Well,
he doesn't have one of those sticky mats with the ducks on it.
He plays, every game he plays, he spends up to 4 hours a day in the shower, okay, on game day. Mm-hmm. And on non-game days, it's like 2.5 hours in the shower.
Lock and load. Lock
That's load. How it works. All right, I got one for you on a welcome back to the ice
cream
social.
Gotta get that baby batter out.
I got a bizarre trivia question for you.
Okay. I hope I have a bizarre answer.
Do you remember Marty Barrett?
Yes, of course I remember Marty Barrett.
Second base, yep. 86 Sox, yep. Among other times.
Mm-hmm.
Name a player, a Hall of Famer, that was injured in an effort to watch Marty Barrett play in the field. You want to hear a good story? I got a good baseball story for you. Hall of Famer George Brett was at his own home one day.
George Brett of the...
The playoff juggernaut, wow. Kansas City Royals.
Holy smokes, God. Man. On the cusp of possibly going to the World Series, but we'll touch on that later.
We will, we promise. We'll touch on that like Ronjo in the shower.
Ronjo.
No, I'm just combining his name. Forget it. It's over.
Well, once you start making pet names, you know this.
No, that was my Manny Ortiz. Manny Ortiz. So you have... George Brett is at his house one day, and he's fitzing around the house. He's cleaning the house, whatever, and he hears, now batting, Marty Barrett, second baseman, Boston Red Sox. And he goes into the other room like he wants to see him bat. So he runs into the other room, and he trips.
On his, like, what, on his $100,000 hardwood floor?
Like at the threshold of his hardwood floor, yeah, no joke. And broke two of his toes. And was out for like a week, and that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's George Brett.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in this day and age, that's a IR. I mean, you're out like 2-3 months.
All right, just for
rehab
George,
stint in Pawtucket.
George Brett. It's one of those rare baseball players who his worst potential injury was like a bad back from carrying around those gigantic stones he had.
That dude I was talking about his gigantic team.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But come on.
Get on my back, guys. Plenty of room for everybody.
Dan Quisenberry. So talk to me a little bit about going back. I just want to finish kind of talking about this. What has happened in New England over the course of a three-week period related specifically and directly to Tom Brady?
Well, as we talked about again last time, you know, I was instigating the crowd a little bit. It's what I do.
Yeah. No.
It's
no.
Chant for, not
that's
me.
It's not true. It's not true.
Chant for Garoppolo and getting other people to do the same, which is awful.
You and those three douchebags behind us.
It's ridiculous.
Get it, Garoppolo.
Yeah, take out Brady.
Where's Garoppolo?
So you go from that game and then the awful, awful game in Kansas City. The sports radio world here in New England, which, by the way, is one of the largest markets in the country.
No, it's the number one sports radio station.
So we're not talking about your little rinky dink, you know, operation or sports show.
Like this Jacksonville
is national stuff. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was time to get rid of Tom Brady. Belichick's over the hill. He doesn't have it anymore. His mind's not there. Whatever their excuse was.
Okay.
And then they go out and beat the Bungles handily. They put 44 points up on them.
Yeah.
Probably could have put up more. You know, Gronk with a garbage time touchdown at the end. That's pretty much what all he's been doing since all the season. Mm-hmm. Either getting garbage time touchdown when they're getting their asses kicked or when they are kicking ass. So, but, you know, Patriots fans have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was listening yesterday to the radio. And again, not a Patriots fan. And they're seriously, and I'm not talking callers now, because we know how stupid some of these callers are and ridiculous, and the fact that some of these radio hosts even give them credence as to what they're saying is absurd.
Yeah.
But these were actually the hosts arguing back and forth about, well, will Tom Brady get cut or traded?
Wait a minute. Hold
okay,
on.
So, okay, this is what's going on. Tom Brady's got 3 more years after this.
Yeah.
Okay. If in the contract, if he plays the last game,
final game of
the
this
final
season.
Game of this season, the last 3 years are guaranteed. So they were actually discussing the fact that if they're sitting there at 8-8 or 7-9, and they're going into the last game, that the Patriots will drop Tom Brady, drop him. Tell me how asinine that is in a league that guy could be traded, you know, guy could be cut, whatever. They're going to cut the Tom Brady. In the last game of the season, just so they don't have to guarantee a very, very team-friendly contract for the next 3 years.
However, well, there's one thing about that team-friendly aspect, and I understand that Bob Kraft is a billionaire, okay? And so these numbers that I'm going to throw around might sound like chump change to him. But one of the things
he's made it clear that it doesn't matter that he's a billionaire with the decision to get rid of Mankins. For actually the small money that would have cost to just pay him the rest of his contract for this year.
Wait, hold on. One of the things that has to happen is on the last game of the regular season, one of the things that has to happen is that Bob Kraft has to write a check to the NFL to put into escrow for Tom Brady to pay out the last of his... When a contract becomes guaranteed, the team no longer pays that contract. What they do is pay the entire amount.
Educate them.
So this $24 million that Tom Brady would be owed in the final 3 years of his deal as his number.
Let's say that again out loud, people.
$24 million
for 3 years.
Of Tom Brady.
Of Tom Brady. Who's going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, not and is already gone down as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
He hasn't retired.
Here's the thing. When a contract in the National Football League gets to the guaranteed place, the money goes from the ownership of the team directly to an escrow account in the NFL that the NFL controls only.
Yep.
And they cut the checks to the players. So when that guarantee...
I'd like to say I knew that, but I did not.
When that guaranteed money becomes accelerated, instantly owed, now that Bob Kraft has to write the entire amount and send it to the NFL. Now, that might kind of sound chump change-ish. Because it's not. It's
even so. It doesn't. I mean, $24 million.
$24 million is a lot of money. Yeah,
this is in baseball.
This is a lot of money, and that's without the 3 years of gate receipts, and it's with the 3 years of jersey sales, and three more years of concessions, and all of those things that generate the money that pay these players. That's a lot of loot.
Sure it is.
Granted, Peyton Manning makes about $19 million per year,
and Tom Brady makes $8 million.
But, well, of course, who's the greatest quarterback in the entire history of the NFL?
Dan Marino?
No. Nay, the entire universe? Of course, Joe Flacco, because of his contract.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Joe Flacco, no, greatest contract
in history. We know this.
Oh, God, he's awesome.
Yep.
So, Tom Brady's money becomes guaranteed at the end of the year. Bob Kraft cuts the check for $24 million. Boom, bing, boom, it's done. Now, that's kind of one of the rubs on all of this. Take me back on the other side of this, where... they cut him. Now, we are right now sitting at the 25th anniversary. 25 years ago this week, Jimmy Johnson traded Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Herschel Walker, was he a good part of this of the Cowboy organization? Let's put it this way. The code to get into, the four-digit code to get into the facilities was 3412. Herschel Walker, Roger Staubach.
Yep.
So... Jimmy Johnson decides he's going to make this trade, and we can talk about that another time because it's really an awesome story about this. About how
it's epic,
yeah, it is. And it's I didn't know. I learned a lot about it this week, kind of reading about it in the 25th anniversary. But yeah, so the Patriots would never cut him loose,
never, never. And not only that, I'll take a step further because the other guy was arguing, no, he's going to be traded before the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, but the trade deadline's coming up at, what is it, October 30th or something?
Yeah,
I think it's right around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but this is your New England Patriots. This is your fan base. These are your radio representatives. You know, the people that follow the team very closely, make a living talking about this stuff.
Yeah, but you know, what Adam Schefter
or letting go and, like, or trading Tom Brady.
Adam Schefter and Clayton and the four-letter network, they were the ones... that we're talking about how Brady's unhappy and Brady's this and Brady's that.
Yeah, riffs with the coaching staff. Shut up.
Shut up. Do you remember Tom Jackson a couple of years ago on the Countdown show saying something to the effect of, what was it? I know from inside that locker room that the players don't like Bill Belichick. 8 weeks after that, they won their third Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Tell me about how they don't like him again.
You talk about a problem case like... Randy Moss.
Adalius Thomas.
Begging and pleading to be a part of that organization after the fact. All he wants to do is play for Coach Belichick.
Yep. So Coach Randy Belichick. Moss, one of the problem people children who retire, of the NFL.
Do not refer to him as Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Coach Belichick.
Coach Belichick.
You're talking about they don't like him?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's honest to God.
They would go to his great-grandniece's, baptism.
Yes.
If they were invited.
Yes, they would.
Come on now. It's utter nonsense. And bottom line is do I see Tom Brady getting traded sometime in the next 3 years? It's a possibility. Maybe. But I don't see it.
You don't do
it.
Well, no. You know what? You say traded, and this is good because the last thing I think I want to talk about with this, and we can bring this part in for a landing, you wouldn't do it this year. But
you
the problem is that there's this bizarre vortex of stupidity surrounding the fan base of this team.
Where that's the understatement of the year.
Now, once this guaranteed contract becomes that team-friendly da-da-da-da-da deal, do you ever expect that your ever going to get out from underneath this now? For the last 3 years of his deal, say he stays for all 3 years and then retires a Patriot. Okay.
Which is, by the way, the most plausible outcome to this. Just saying.
Yeah. He retires a Patriot. Nobody is ever going to get out from underneath this entire conversation, this talk around New England.
All right. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll touch a little bit on the Cinderella Royals, which is a great story. Talk a little hockey, maybe some fantasy.
Yeah, definitely. So don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at EricAndTedICS.
Or our website, EricAndTed.com.
Make sure you look for us on iTunes. Just search for Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Always visit us on Facebook at Facebook.com/EricAndTed.
I just don't like people barking orders at me, that's all.
If I'm curt with you, it's because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this. So, pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the fucking car. Don't be looking.
Still October 12th, 2014, and this is still Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Eric and I made it back from our brief break.
Yes, yes, we did.
I'm Ted, and he's Eric, and we're happy that we're back here doing the Ice Cream Social again. Eric, you are scoreboard watching for us this evening as we tape tomorrow's show.
Yes, yes, and normally, obviously, we do not talk about topical in-the-moment things.
We don't.
But right now, it's looking like the bottom of the eighth for the Kansas City Royals versus Baltimore Orioles. It's tied 4-4. Now, I don't know if you heard about this. 1985. Remember that World Series?
You mean one of the greatest World Series of all time because the Kansas City Royals won it?
Yes. Well, apparently there was the World Series banner was stolen. The 85 World Series banner had been stolen.
Really?
It got returned today.
Oh,
yes. Nice. Do you smell something in the air?
Yeah, could
they haven't
be
been
having...
there since 85. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since they've been even in the playoffs.
Yeah, actually, since that
year. Since that,
yeah, that year,
that's right. Yeah, you know.
So, are we looking at a moment in time where a, you know, a middle of the country, middle of the road organization finally?
Yep, small market.
Yep.
Small payroll. I think so.
Oh, man. And you know what?
The way they dispatched of the mighty Anaheim Angels.
And by the way, who was it on?
Well, Angels of Anaheim?
It's it's Trout, Pujols.
Yeah.
And who's the...
Well, you got Hamilton, too, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, Josh Hamilton. Yeah. They went like a combined, what was it, 1-13 34 or something during that series.
They sucked.
Whatever it was. But yeah. I think Mike Trout was the only guy who got a hit. Who, by the way, he's still the best player in baseball.
Yeah, good for him.
But yeah.
You know, he can feel that way when he's sitting on his couch.
Yeah, he sure can. But he might get his title someday. But
I'm telling you, Kansas City won game one. Mm-hmm. All right, in extra innings.
Yep.
And now they're looking to take a 2-game lead.
Mm-hmm.
Playing, in Baltimore. So they have a chance to go into Kansas City up 2-0, trying to get into the World Series.
Nice.
And that's something special.
That sure is.
That's something special. We'll keep an eye on that. It's actually going into the 9th inning now. So it's still tied 4-4. But what we're going to be talking about now is some football.
The greatest game ever?
Yeah.
Oh.
Week 6.
Excellent.
Now, tell me this doesn't say something about the talent pool of the NFL teams.
Okay.
Week 6, there's not a single undefeated team.
Actually, this is the earliest there hasn't been one. Maybe even since.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
We're talking, there's for any recent history, it's been, we're talking 8-0s and 9-0s, 10-0s, 11-0s. You know what I mean? We've been seeing that a lot over the last decade, 2 decades. Yeah, week 6, not a single one. So 5 weeks played.
And getting kind of right in that spirit
parody.
Exactly my point, because talking right in that spirit, when we talk about like kind of the grand scope of the NFL and like all of these things, a record fell.
It's about to fall.
No. Wait. A record fell.
Which last record are you referring to?
The largest comeback for a team on the road in NFL history was manicured by one Brian Hoyer.
Oh, right. That's right.
Fast do you think Bench is going to get back?
Johnny who?
Johnny Clipboard. Oh, Johnny Bench.
Talking about him.
That punk is...
It's about time nobody's talking about him.
How great is... And people are talking about Brian Hoyer. I'm
hearing
so...
more Tebow talk than Manziel talk right now.
Well, I'm hearing Tebow talk from the Jets. Now, how funny it is, right? And talking about... you talked about parody. We obviously had our detailed conversations about the merits, if you will, of a guy like Russell Wilson. Now, you know that I'm a guy, I beat up a little bit on Seattle. I'm not a huge Seahawks fan. What I saw Russell Wilson do in the fourth quarter, and particularly the final drive against Washington last Monday night, was almost poetic. It was to the point where I kind of felt
it was
like
something to watch.
This is a guy now.
If you missed it, it was definitely fun to watch.
You know how they've had kind of that moniker of like he's really dynamic, he's all this, that, and the other thing, but he's still a kind of a game manager, and everybody kind of leaves that on him because they only throw the ball X number of times, like 20 times a game, whatever. Yep.
Keep in mind that's what Brady was. That's what Brady was referred to. In the first 2 to 3 years. When he took over the Patriots,
yeah,
he's a game manager.
He's a system guy. Mm-hmm. He's a system guy.
System guy that's a Hall of Famer and go down as a.
I'm telling you, Russell Wilson in that new crop and that new breed of quarterback. And let's give you a rundown. It's the EJ Manuels. It's the Geno Smiths. It's the Michael Vicks. It's the RG3s. It's the Colin Kaepernicks. And the style of quarterback that I'm talking about.
But I told you 2 years ago that he was going to be the one to separate himself from that quote-unquote style of quarterback. And I still believe heads and shoulders above is going to continue to separate himself likes of Colin Kaepernick. And RG3, nah, he's not even in the conversation anymore.
He's not even in the conversation in his own town.
No, so, but he's something special. And it's going to be fun to watch these next decade.
And I actually like how unlikable, and it's funny because they don't seem unlikable.
Well, to you, they are.
They're an unlikable group, and except for Russell Wilson. Now, you know what? I talk about Sherman. I don't think like that thug moniker fits. I hate that trash talk bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And the calling the guys out on Twitter and all of those other things. But that I've sat here and acknowledged that he's one of the top corners in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that his reputation is starting to take on such a life of its own that is maybe giving him extra credit for putting him in a little bit of a higher echelon.
It could be. I think the whole thug and punk is starting to dissipate.
No, you know, well, you but know, then so, but then all of a sudden, then all of a sudden, people, like, they fuel it. When the Chargers beat them.
Ha! Yeah. They talk about how they exposed. We had Tommy on here, and even he said it.
Yeah.
And you know, and forgive me, because it's been a little bit too long, and yeah. I actually had the stats on it for how many times he was thrown to, how many yards it was for, and it was literally, when you actually broke it down, I think it was like three passes.
It was absurd.
It was actually a great game.
He played four targets, three receptions against him, something like that. 86 yards.
Yeah, and a touchdown in a zone play that actually, it wasn't, he had handed it off pretty much, because that wasn't his job to follow him anymore.
Yeah.
But they took to Twitter and to the media saying they exposed Richard Sherman.
One of the things that, like, you know, this will show up in your lives where sometimes you just have to be the guy who punches harder. And that day, the Chargers punched harder.
They did.
But we talked about when I made the pick and I, you know, when you kind of like scoffed at me a little bit about, like, I said, hey, this is the game that Seattle loses. The reason why, again, was Seattle's not going 16-0. They're also not losing at home. The Chargers are sowing their oats, man. They're feeling it right now. So why can't this be the game? Yeah. That's when we get to our predictions in a few minutes. That's one of the things that I'll end up talking about a little bit with Seattle's game coming up this week at home against Dallas.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going on, too. If Seattle loses a game at home, it'll be against a team with an offensive line that looks like the early 90s Cowboys offensive line now.
Yep.
Three first rounders, and you know my favorite player in the NFL, Tyron Smith.
Yep.
You know, remember that draft day, dude? How funny that was? If the Cowboys ever want to win again, they'll draft Tyron Smith with their first rounder.
Yeah.
The Cowboys take Tyron Smith.
Yeah, like, I called you up. I'm like, hey, my guy. There you go. Finally.
USC. So, at any rate, that Russell Wilson performance from that Monday night game, particularly in the fourth quarter, where they just took the lid off and said, go ahead, we need three first downs to run the clock out to keep the lead. He made a play by rolling out, and he fooled guys so badly. Yep.
He fools the cameraman all the time. It's hilarious.
He does, and he's so talented.
It's actually frustrated watching it when the camera goes and darts in one direction. You're like, oh, hey, you still got the ball, asshole.
Who's filming this? But given that, you said
the Michael J. Fox is filming. He's like,
you know, edit.
You're such a douche, man.
Oh, Alex P. Keaton. Oh, you're such a douche. So talk to me a little bit about what's going on with, for instance, the New York Jets, as we're talking about football. And
the 1-4 Jets?
The 1-4 Jets. But Geno Smith, okay? This is what Geno Smith, since our last show, he cussed out a fan.
He flipped them off.
Yes.
He pegged him right off and said, F you.
Yeah. A fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then,
on TV.
And then he goes.
Good look, buddy.
Takes a dump all over himself against San Diego. Michael Vick comes in, didn't do much better.
I mean, and Michael Vick even said this week, he's like, look, I was not prepared.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for that team, and that's on me.
Yep.
And I expect Vick to do better.
Yeah.
And but just watching the sideline camera on it took the definition of the boo-boo face to a new level.
Oh, now it's like
did.
Uber boo-boo.
Yeah, Uber boo-boo is the Geno Smith. It was, and oh, man. Well, and Vic even tried to walk up to him. He saw him talking, and he wasn't trying to hear it.
He's
a bum.
Well, and Geno, turns out we found out a couple of days after that throttling they took in San Diego, he missed the Saturday night meeting.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a third line tackle on defensive side, and you missed the Saturday night meeting,
shame on you, because you'd be taking that opportunity to know more than number two and number one.
Perfect.
But I understand what you're saying.
No, but you're right. You're right. You're the starting quarterback.
Yeah. You're the de facto captain. You're not maybe the captain, but you are the quarterback. You're the general. You've got to lead by example.
The only guy that the sidelines can talk to on the field is you.
Yep.
You don't go to the Saturday meeting. And you know what he said? He said, we were on the West Coast. I got my time crossed up, and I was at a movie. Yep. Now, the night before a game, when you're a beleaguered team, and you're really on the cusp of sitting
you're
on
one
the
and three, so now you're either going to be 2-3, and you know maybe go move in the right direction, or 1-4 in a very tough division.
This is why I've been saying to you. Now, the last straw for the NFL's experiment with this style of quarterback, okay, is going to be Jameis Winston, who's another head case.
Dude, I was reading articles today about the culture down there with the police department and the school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the type of stuff you read about when you're reading into, you know, crime families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like it sounded like the city of Gotham. I'm not joking. It was absurd.
Yeah.
It's like not the okay. best thing for his legal defense and his issues, yep. honestly,
to keep it there,
to drop out. Swear to God, it's so bad for him. The best answer right now is if he dropped out of FSU. That's how bad it is for him right now. And he shows him on the sidelines today, dancing. He came out right before the game and he did, I guess, the dance of the month, the Shmoney,
yeah.
and then transferred that into a Harlem Shake and then into the Heisman pose. Now, this is a guy that's got to face a disciplinary board for 4 infractions of the student conduct, including rape, which is now being reinvestigated because the cops didn't investigate it because they're in the pockets of FSU.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been going on for years and it's detailed. You got to go online and search this. This is a culture that's been going on for years. Of players not being arrested.
Bobby Bowden.
It's insane, dude. It's mind-blowing. I was very, very shocked. So you got all this going on. You're a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out in the game and you're dancing like nothing's wrong. You don't got a care in the world.
See? Now, it's not a...
And boy, but can he throw a pretty pass.
That's why he is in a yep. Division I school.
It's unbelievable.
Can you imagine, though, that the morals have degraded at that level, where a proud institution of Florida State University.
Yeah.
But remember, this goes back to, like, everybody, though, Cam Newton and the whole USC thing with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is a criminal.
But it takes it to a new level because we're not talking about, you know, side deal, little winks and nudges. We're talking rapes,
sure.
assaults, drive-bys. Dude, it's amazing.
Aaron Hernandez was able to get out of Florida. He went to the University of Florida. He was a Gator, a national mm-hmm. champion. He was with Tebow. And he was with Steve Spurrier at that school. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Was it Urban Meyer? Was
Urban
there?
Urban Meyer.
All right. So with all, it was Urban Meyer's during his, yeah. That was, there was a brief, you know, really sorry, yeah. brief misdirection. But there's a conversation with him on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel and fascinating insight into the head of Urban Meyer. So it's, and I'm not a huge Urban Meyer fan.
Yep.
Definitely worth the check out. But with this, like, I know we've kind of gone off the rails a little bit on the Swayze train since we started talking about kind of, we started with the positives of like Russell Wilson, the NFL and stuff, and we've sort of degraded into this NCAA morass.
Need to be talked about, like, though. This is absurd.
You're exactly right. Like,
we made fun of him. Remember when we talked about how he got suspended for the game?
Yeah.
And he walked out onto the field. And we're like, what is he thinking? Well, it makes sense now. Because he hasn't been held accountable, and nobody's been held accountable for anything they've done. So why would he think that he wasn't going to play that game?
How do you not think this doesn't go on in Tuscaloosa?
I mean,
how
do you not think this goes on?
You know, like, this is the SEC. These are professional organizations that are disguising themselves as a school.
Yeah.
And it's a very thin disguise. Yeah. It's like, okay, wow, that's a football school. And then they put on glasses. Oh, no, wait, that's a Clark Kent University. It's that bad.
Yep.
As I watch this, and the
NCAA is like the ozone layer.
Yeah.
We all know it's screwed up and deteriorating, but hey, what are we going to do?
Now, that's why I ask, when I look at something like the NBA D League and things like that, like, shouldn't the NFL just have a minor league? You know,
it'll never happen. All the money that it would cost the schools.
The guy who guys who run bowl games, okay, this is not a joke. Like, so something like, say, the Cotton Bowl gets like $180,000 a year to set up an event that happens one day
mm-hmm.
for 3 hours, and it's $180,000 a year. He thinks,
sign me up.
He thinks the NCAA is doing just fine.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The deans and
the trustees.
Remember, now they're touting the new playoff system now in NCAA Division I.
Works.
Well, here's the thing about the playoff system that they couldn't do. Remember, they couldn't do a playoff system because the students wouldn't be in school. They would take too much time away from their studies. Except 1AA, Division II, and Division III, who all have outstanding schools but just smaller populations, their players could be in a playoff. But you couldn't have a playoff because of why? Because of their studies? No. It's because the Penske Bowl and the Papa John's Bowl and the Dickhead Bowl and the douchebag Bowl and all of this other crazy stupid stuff.
Bowl.
Yeah, and you kept going through this run of different bowl games and like that, you know, the Sullivan Tire Bowl.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I used to get excited for the bowl games. I remember, you know, for the limited time my dad was around, was looking forward to even the Outback Bowl. Wasn't that bad.
Sure.
But you look forward to these bowls, and as year went on, and you're like, what's the CarQuest Bowl?
Yeah.
What's that? That's like the start of it, the CarQuest. I'm like, the CarQuest? What the hell is that? And then it just got worse and worse and worse, and who the hell cares anymore?
Yeah, and it was just a reason to have two schools come, play your game. You give each school $500,000, $2 million,
six
whatever.
And six.
Yep.
You know, going to these bowl games. Why do I want to watch a 6-6 team?
I don't. Their fans may want to see one more game, sure, but that's
another
so meaningless.
To get trashed.
Then they tried to put in the BCS. That's what it was. That they,
the
BCS rankings. We're gonna do.
It's
just so stupid.
Yeah.
And now they're gonna just go in with this half-assed, flaccid playoff system. So bad. It's
a lot of big games in college this weekend too.
Well,
a lot of big matchups.
You know, last week when Bama got beat by Ole Miss. That's by the way, speaking of Boo Boo Face, that is the alma mater of one Eli Boo Boo Face Manning.
And Mississippi State beat
Auburn
today handily.
Did they? What
they
was the final?
It was 38-23.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that now that makes four teams that they've beaten in the top 10.
Yep.
In the top 10. And they were ranked number 3, Auburn number 2. They're going to be ranked number 2 now. Now Florida's going to keep their number 1 ranking, gag me with a spoon, all that shit.
Did you just?
I did. Oh. I channeled my inner Clueless. But yeah, you know, you got the Mississippi Bulldogs in the thick of things, beating world burners.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
But no, you know what, though? Now I start to think about, like, What's going on over there?
Yeah.
Like, how did all of a sudden they become relevant?
Yeah. They had four turnovers in the first half, too, and they still won.
Listen, I'm watching Baylor. Baylor put a new...
Well, against Christian...
Christian. TCU Hornfrogs. And by the way, one of the most famous TCU Hornfrogs of all time would be one LaDainian Tomlinson. Tomlinson went to TCU. It's Texas Christian University, the Texas Christian Hornfrogs. They played Baylor today. Now, guess what Baylor has? A brand new facility, top to bottom, left to right. This is a palace, okay? Baylor is, as far as Texas goes, a remarkably good school.
Yeah.
And they've cut their teeth on the fact that they can pride themselves on their academic excellence.
But their sports program keep improving every year.
Yeah, and who's the most recent Baylor graduate who's in the NFL and not succeeding would be RG3.
Yep.
So RG3 was able to, in a very short period of time, generate so much interest in Baylor football that now they have a new facility, new practice facility, everything. Now, real quick, I want to check in with Eric, who's
6-4, top of the ninth, Kansas City takes the lead.
That's so
and
nice.
And they're still batting.
That's so nice.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. And like I said, I don't have a horse in this race.
No.
But we talked about it. We like to see this parity. We talked about it. We wanted to see what we said be the ultimate World Series. Pittsburgh and
Kansas City.
Pittsburgh didn't make it past the first joke playoff game.
Oh, God.
Can I go on a little rant here for a sec, by the way?
Feel free.
Okay. The additional wild card that they added.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year or the year before?
Year before.
So, they talk about making the playoffs, okay? So now it's two wild card teams,
mm-hmm.
and they celebrate now. You know, they celebrate the wild card berth. They're excited. Champagne's popping. This is great! So the next day, yeah, exactly. Crack the beers, chug them. Yep. It's, you know, a lush fest.
Mine's
and so what they are celebrating, these wild card teams, they're celebrating the fact that regardless of their record, they could win 100 games, get that first wild card spot. Doesn't mean crap because it's a one-game playoff. One-game playoff. Now, before, you got, you know, AFC, American League East,
yep,
powerhouse. You got the Yankees and you got the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. And always Tampa.
Yep. And you had Tampa in the mix. But I'm taking about the last decade. Okay? Last decade as far as playoff appearances again, and whatnot.
Like Madden.
So it's not, wasn't unusual to see, say, the Yankees with 103 wins. Yeah. And the Red Sox with 98,
mm-hmm,
getting the wild card, heads and shoulders above every other contender for the wild card.
At 70 wins.
Okay. And then you get the teams battling out 5 and 7 game series, and that, you know, the Red Sox were a wild card in 04.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You celebrate that wild card. You made it to the playoffs. You're in it. Okay. Now, they had this other wild card acting like it's something special. I remember when they said it, I was like, yeah, I'm like, I like it. I'm like, all right, let's add another wild card team. Let's see what can happen.
Put another series in there.
Exactly. And I find out it's one game, and I'm scratching my head, man. And I put up with it last year, and I saw it this year again, and I'm like, this is bull. So you got the, again, I'm going with the Red Sox-Yankees example. Red Sox sitting there with 98, 99 wins, heads and shoulders above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You get a team, 86 wins maybe, that snatches this now made up. Yeah. Now made up, this made up number two wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox looking over there. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now, instead of actually being in the playoffs, you just get to play one extra game than every other Major League Baseball team. Just one.
That's it.
And one game. So if that team, who only won 86 games all year long, has one good pitcher.
Hey, you want to hear some great news?
Yeah. So now they have one good pitcher. Who happens to just throw a gem?
Happy.
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 They now just beat your ass, beat a 98-win team, and now they're in the playoffs. I'm sorry, folks. The wild card game is a sham. There is no wild card game.
You was talking loco, and I like it.
There is no longer a wild card game.
No.
Sorry. Well, they just screwed the wild card is what they did. That's what they did. They said that wild card team that's been winning the World Series,
mm-hmm,
right? Because that's been happening. Wild card team's been winning the World Series. That wild card team, screw you. You got to play this other team for one game before you can move on to the next series.
Well,
tell me how that's the playoffs. How can a wild card team celebrate right now when they win a wild card spot?
Well,
how is that something to celebrate?
Do you remember a couple of years ago the greatest team ever, Red Sox, where... It's Tito's last year.
Yep.
And they were awful.
Well, but they were really good up until
the last month.
September.
And, yeah. But they were in that last day of the season push.
Yep.
Now, do you remember sitting and watching the three games or whatever that were going on? Baltimore beat us that day.
Yep.
You remember?
I do.
It was Baltimore, Tampa, and it was one other team. And you kept going back and forth between these games. When MLB saw that, one of the great days of modern baseball history, take place on TV, where Major League Baseball has been taking it in the ass for the last, X number of years, because the games now are even longer than they used to be. That's when Major League Baseball said, we need to guarantee that this happens every year.
Yep.
And
doesn't that dilute it?
Oh, it's just, well...
Because that happened. I'd say every two years, whether it be in the National League or in the American League, you do have...
A city or two.
That's playing one game.
Yep.
Sometimes even it's a tie, like in addition to. Like the season just ended, and these two teams are tied, and they have the same...
Bucky Bleep and Dent, the last day playoff.
And they
game.
Have the same record against each other, so they're going to play in one game playoff. That's exciting. But to now say, nah... There is no such thing as a wild card, but we're going to call it two wild cards. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
Now, with that,
sorry, Eric and I,
No. This is good because this is kind of giving everybody who's going to join us this week. I'm expecting when we post this one, we're going to get a ton of new listeners this week. We're going to get a ton of new feedback, and I'm really excited about it. And one of the things that you got to know about Eric and I as we take a brief break before we come back with our picks for this week is that we were going to do this anyway.
Yeah. You're just along for the ride.
So
we love you all.
Yeah, we're glad you're here with us, man. But hey, do us a favor real quick. Check us out on Twitter if you get a chance, at Eric and Ted ICS.
How about website, ericandted.com?
Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And on iTunes at Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. Go ahead. Give us a listen.
Yeah, man. We totally dig having everybody here with us, and we will catch you in a couple of minutes.
This beat is like funk, you know what I'm saying? Who put this beat together?
Oh, yeah.
That's the DJ Unknown.
Unknown?
What? Unknown?
I didn't think he was capable of something. This is Compton's Most Wanted with Late Night Hype. Dig this one for a minute, won't you?
With Art Spencer.
It was a Friday, and they was chilling like a criminal. Didn't know the time, so I peeped out the digital. Jumped in the hoopty, turned on the ignition. Had the slightest where to go, but still was on a mission. Damn, a line drop rolling, kinda tough. Twisted up the chocotine, and I started to puff. Aroma smells better than a rose. Needed a shot of the bird, but the store was closed. Swooped to my girl house to see what was popping, to let me know if the panties was dropping. Baby wanted snaps, 20s by the dozen. I guess that tramp thought that the E was buzzing. I couldn't fade it, why the hell should I jib? Got the 20 sack of time and I'll head for the crib. I can't go out like that, that ain't my type. I hooked her up on my late night hype. Cheer.
Word.
Hey man, I don't know what's up with this thing, man. This boy is like real tripping.
Hey yo, you want me to run some, homeboy?
Man, I guess, man. Baby thinking she gon' gang. Ain't no sleeping. Run it then.
I was cool, so let you know the chill cool's out. Explanation, chiller tell you what it's about. At the pad, on the way to ease to get gack. And I'm thinking of a sorry clown should jack. 10-3-0, it's the time I start belling. Chill, from CMW the girl is yelling. Pay no attention, all they wanna do is bone ya. Step back off the curb, came E around the corner. Music was thumping, head started bobbing. Swooping through Compton like Batman and Robin. E is kinda late, what's the plan for the evening?
Let's roll till we find a pack of girls that skeezin'.
Skeezin', I play the game like a spoke. Yo, E, roll out, let me hit the new pole. Boys from Compton,
cheer, ride.
And we hook you up on that late night hype.
Too fresh, ain't chillers back with a funky track.
Yeah, I know that. Hey, I got 100 to spin, what's up on some hand?
Yo, man, I'm with that. Let's roll down Compton Boulevard. I know the store stay open like late night.
Well, let's step.
On the 91 freeway, looking spooky. Headed to this girl house to get my dookie. Stopped at the station to fill up the tank. Phone niggas rolling, I better watch out for the gang. Move, it was smooth, one of the fools jumped out. Started popping, all his yin yang from his mouth. I said, look, my name is Ake and I'm your local town rapper. He said,
so what, I'm your local town jacker.
Right then, I knew I couldn't reason with the chap. So the thought came,
E, pill his cap.
I reached under the seat, the sucker got brave. The punk was sprayed. Checked out myself, everything was cool. Damn, had to lay the rest of crazy fool. Yeah, don't try to play, cause yo, that ain't my type. And you get hip to my late night hype. Damn, suckers on a tip.
Man, homeboy just didn't know, so we got pill. You know what I'm saying, E?
Man, chill. These suckers got to know ain't no sleeping.
Homeboy, you know we know what's up. And that's on that, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. Let's kick it.
I'm with it. On a night when things was going kinda slow, me and E taking to the head of Cold 4-0. I was buzzing and clowning the ski, that was show. Right then, A passed me the smoke. Chilling much hard and the phone started ringing. I was buzzing and it looked like the house was swinging. I couldn't fake it, barely made it to the door. I hit a corner and claimed my spot on the floor. Suddenly, I smelled the fume that was lit. Opened my eyes and I had to take a hit. Knock, knock, knock on the door. Somebody's tripping. It was my girl, E said.
Hit the button, stop sipping.
She kept riffing. I said, shut the trap. You're pissing me off. You keep it up and I slap. She said, no. I said, chill, fool, take a hike. I got no time for your late night hype.
Hey, man, check this out. It's like these girls, man, it's coming to the house like 3 o'clock in the morning, man. I can't even dip.
Man, that ain't nothing. I had this girl last night come over my house tripping, banging on my door all night. Mom was going off, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. I be tripping off these girls out here trying to say they damn.
And yes, thank you, Compton's Most Wanted, for joining us on our late night hype. So Eric,
you're
and
welcome.
I am. Oh. So we're back here on the Ice Cream Social.
I am Eric.
And I'm Ted. And I hope you're enjoying kind of this free form weekend kind of welcome back show that we're doing here.
Flying by the seat of our britches. And, we are.
Oh, God. Oh. And speaking of britches. What was the final score?
Sure. I love a good segue.
Yeah.
unfortunately, the Orioles lost. Oh, I got you on that one. Final is 6-4. Royals are heading back home with a 2-0 lead over Baltimore.
As I said,
he is talking loco, and I like it.
I tell you, man, I don't know what's going on with Baltimore's lineup, but they just fell asleep.
It's so nice, isn't it?
And, you know, Royals are making great defensive plays out in the field. They're going first to third. They're doing everything that they did during the season to get there, and they're doing it in the playoffs.
Hey, man.
Do you know the Royals had 158 infield hits this year?
Are you serious?
158. Infield
hits. Teams don't go like decades. They don't go decades.
Yeah, no,
with
it's
that.
A special team, man, and I just like the vibe. I know the NL strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got the Cardinals and you got the Giants, but boy, I tell you, I'm gonna be rooting hard for those Royals, man. I'll be rooting hard for him.
Well, speaking of rooting hard, Eric and I are going to hit our picks of the week this week. Now, Eric.
Master of the segue.
Now, Eric, I got to tell you.
Dolphins?
Hold on. We have a special part of our picks of the week, and it's Eric's cheap ticket of the week, and I'm going to give you a number.
I know what it is. It's $8.
Jacksonville and Tennessee. Now, when I see $8, all I can think of right here.
My computer's closed, by the way.
Yeah, now, this is not a joke. Like, in my mind, I hear, like, Sarah McLaughlin, like, playing piano, and, like, I see, like, Jacksonville Jaguars, and her going,
and the AFPCA
this team sucks.
Puppies.
Yeah, like, won't you please help? You well, for please just help $8, them? You, too, can go to an NFL game.
Oh, yes.
We should have made a bid out of that.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Let's make a bid out of that.
It'll be the white Key and Peele.
By the way, well, Eric and I also, we've had having a conversation. Eric and I are going to trade shows this week.
Yes, we are.
Eric is a huge, huge fan of Key and Peele.
Yep.
I've never watched the show once.
Oh,
although I did see them in their guest spot on Fargo, the series, and it was fantastic. But I am a massive fan of IFC, the independent film channel, The Birthday Boys.
Yeah.
Which is pretty close to the most hilarious.
Created by Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk, and some of you may know him as Saul Goodman.
Saul Goodman.
From Breaking Bad, or from Mr. Show, another great show. But the comedy block, the comedy bang bang of they call it, them and Garfunkel and Oates, is just absolutely perfect comedy for me.
I've been a big fan of Garfunkel and Oates for a while, and I just haven't been able to catch their new show.
The new show is fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'll catch it on
so
demand.
Well, we're swapping shows.
He's going to watch Key and Peele. I'm going to watch Birthday Boys. Then we'll discuss.
Yeah. So speaking of complete comedy. Speaking again of comedy and stupidity, Jacksonville at Tennessee. Who do you got this week, big guy?
Cheap game of the week. Bustle up your pocket change. Go to Taco Bell. And then with your change left over from that, head on over to the game.
Seriously, right in front of me. Just for a point of reference, right in front of me, I have a tin of Altoids, as always. A root beer, and a bag of beef jerky.
Which cost as much.
$8.09.
as a ticket to the game. I have Jacksonville. I got Jacksonville in that game.
You know what?
Someone should write this down.
I got it, buddy. All right, so you have Jacksonville in this one. All right,
I do, sir.
Fine. I'm going to actually take Tennessee, even though
really?
They were
Bortles?
You're
not a Bortles fan, huh?
No, I'm actually quite...
So you don't
quite
think
the opposite.
You don't think he could win the game for him against Tennessee?
We're going to find out everything we need to know about Tennessee. See, you find out more about what you're working with after a loss than you do after a win, without a doubt. And after Tennessee got caught ahead 24 and lost to the Cleveland Browns in the biggest comeback on the road in NFL history.
And you still have them winning, though.
And I still have them winning because I think, you know what, I'm going to have to give, when a team gets smacked like that, I got to have some faith that they got some guts.
You're going to see how they react. Like you said, you're going to see what Tennessee's made out of. And I think it's Jell-O.
Well, we'll find out.
Maybe little bits of kibble in there.
At the $49 game of the week, we have Baltimore visiting Tampa.
Baltimore with the best quarterback in the NFL,
Joe Flacco.
Tampa. I'm going to go with Baltimore even though I hate them. I don't like picking them, but.
You know what?
I don't like picking them, but I have to.
This is killing me because I have to pick them. But
well, I mean, Gleason's been all right.
Yeah.
Gleason's been all right for them. They won a really close game last week.
Yeah,
and finally, Vincent Jackson got me a touchdown. I mean, they just had to throw it to him 10 times
to
get it.
J.J. Watt has more touchdowns than LeSean McCoy, Vincent McCoy. Jackson, and
McCoy
and Doug Martin combined?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. He's a beast.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay on
You're
this
gonna
one.
You're going to go with
I'm going to give Tampa the edge at home.
All right. Next game, sir.
I don't even want to. Denver Jets.
Well, Rex Ryan is going. Okay, all right, fine. I won't.
If Rex Ryan is bringing an AK-47.
Well, where are they playing? It doesn't matter.
Dude, they could play this on the deck of an aircraft carrier. It's not going to matter.
I would pay for that. Are you kidding me? That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's actually an old
NFL,
line from-
instead of going to London.
They should play on the deck of an aircraft
absolutely.
Carrier.
Absolutely. Put some fucking turf down.
Well, we don't have to swear about it.
We don't have to, but it's how we talk. But it makes it more realistic.
Obviously, we both have Denver.
Okay, I'll write that one down. Denver.
Detroit at Minnesota. And I think Detroit, again.
Minnesota's playing good, though, man.
They are. And Detroit took one on the chin last week from Buffalo. And
yeah, they sure did.
All it took was three missed field goals from the now Matthew Prater, Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. He's on their team now.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, he got picked up this week. Okay. Yeah. I got Detroit coming back, winning on the road, and taking it to Minnesota.
All right, and Detroit, who's leading their division right now at 3-2.
Hmm.
But Green Bay also at 3-2. Yep. So you have Detroit winning.
I do. I have Detroit winning.
You have
and
Detroit,
you know,
and I'm a Detroit fan. We picked them, and then we keep going back to that. We picked them to win division,
yep.
So we're picking them to win games.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with Detroit. I don't know what game you have next on your schedule, but I'm going to skip ahead to tie this together.
Go for it.
Okay. And that is Miami Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Green Bay and Detroit have the same record.
Now, everybody on the planet.
And we have Miami winning.
Okay. Got a stat for you.
Oh, I read it, but go ahead.
When the temperature goes above 77 degrees,
mm-hmm.
running back performance drops 27%.
Yep.
It's going to be a hot day.
Yep.
Do you think that the Eddie Lacy performance drops?
Yeah, absolutely. Dolphins are good against the run. They always have been.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they weren't at their best, they were always good against the run.
But we have Moreno coming back from his injury.
Yeah, we have Moreno coming back.
Lamar Miller.
Yeah, you still got Lamar Miller running good. Daniel Thomas, he's so irrelevant, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how Moreno looks going back. And, of course, they're used to the weather. I'm sorry, I'm just not sold on Green Bay as a team. We know how good Aaron Rodgers is.
And we know how big a Dolphins fan you are, too. Yeah. Are you going with your heart a little on this one?
I am. And, you know, I don't think I've picked against them yet. They're 2-2.
Okay.
Because they had the bye last week. Right. I do believe if they did not, whoever they were playing, they would have beaten.
Okay, well, you know what? I got to kind of, like, just...
They've beaten them before.
I know they have.
They've beaten better Green Bay teams with worse Dolphins teams. I've seen it.
I think Green Bay's on the rise. I think Miami's on sort of like stumbling around a little punch drunk right now.
I just don't see the defense there for Green Bay stopping Miami.
With the most overrated player in the entire National Football League. By the way, real quick, we're going to touch on this. Eric and I actually had a phone conversation one day where I was in the middle of watching a game where Green Bay was playing, and I called you up and said, you need to watch how remarkably bad Clay Matthews is. And then
as soon as I turned on the TV, he made a sack, but that's because nobody blocked him.
Nobody, he came completely clean.
Completely clean.
And then they grind.
Took him out on third down.
They take him out on third down, they stop, and then all of a sudden Green Bay can stuff anybody.
Yep.
But when he's out on the field, this guy sucks. Mm-hmm. So badly that I want to root against
them. They're trapped. They're trapped with that guy.
Yeah, they're stuck with him.
So who's your pick, man?
Green Bay.
Okay.
I apologize.
It's all right, almost, man.
But like I can't.
It's all right.
I
appreciate the point.
Yeah.
Give me a point.
Now, next on the list, we're going to go back up the 1 o'clock games, and I got we got Pittsburgh visiting Cleveland, and there is no doubt in my mind this is a game that Cleveland can and will win.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
At Cleveland.
I got Cleveland. Part of it, obviously, I want Cleveland to do well. I want Hoyer to do well. Other part of it, I hate
Pittsburgh.
Ben Roethlisberger. I hate Tomlin, that freaking cheater.
Ugh. What? You mean you can't run out onto the field?
You can't watch the Jumbotron
and
to figure out when the guy's coming right by you and jump on and off the field?
You can't do that?
Dude, that's still one of the worst things I've seen in the NFL in quite some time, and the NFL is known for awful, awful things.
call that on-field.
Yeah, the worst on-field. And I've seen guys swing helmets at each other.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Cleveland. I'm going to go with Cleveland as well.
All right, sounds good, man. Now we got Carolina at the Reeling Bungles.
Bengals are going to win.
Yep. Bengals are coming right back out of this one.
No, I think that was an anomaly. It was, again, like you said, shine the bright lights on them, and that's what you get. They could go from the Bengals to the Bungles in bright lights.
Without a doubt.
But they're a very talented team. I think Sanu is going to have a big game. A.J. Green, fantasy people, obviously, you know by now, he ain't playing.
Yep.
But I think Sanu is going to have a big game.
All right, man. I'm going to go with Cincinnati with this one, too. Yep. The last of our 1 o'clock games here, we have the Patriots visiting Buffalo.
I'm picking Buffalo. I'm sorry, and that has nothing to do with my hatred for the Patriot fan base. I see Buffalo winning this game.
Okay.
They're riding a high right now. Emotional high and a good win. Even though that bullshit about carrying the coach off the field.
And Jim Schwartz, the most unlikable guy.
And it wasn't even
NFL.
Organic. You know that, right?
Oh, no. He said,
if I win at Detroit, carry me off the field.
Yeah.
That was disgusting.
I can't even begin.
That was almost as disgusting as Wade Boggs on top of a horse in Yankee Stadium.
What?
But at least they won the World Series.
Do me a favor. Instead of ever saying Wade Boggs on a horse in Yankee Stadium, can you just take that pen, just shove it in my eye?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be less painful.
Yeah.
All right. So I actually have to go with, and for almost the exact same reason, I'm going with the Patriots on this.
Okay.
The reason why I'm going with the
Patriots. They should win. I think Buffalo's going to do it. I don't know why.
But again, I'm with you on that. I think that Buffalo's defense is finally stout. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kyle Orton necessarily is the direction you want to go in.
Better
after
than
they
Manuel,
benched E.J. Manuel. He sucks. Kyle Orton sucks.
Not as bad as Geno, but.
Oh, my God. But what an awful experiment the NFL's tried over the last 5 years.
I mean, you got Buffalo hanging in there. Okay, they got the same record as the Patriots, man.
They do, and I,
they
this
do.
Is the, this
they're
is playing
three and
for
two.
First,
oh, absolutely.
And
they're
now it's funny
first,
for all
technically
of these,
they're in first place
for,
right now.
For all of these reasons that you're saying, the Bills, as the exact same reason
this
I'm saying
is a
the
huge
Patriots.
Game for them.
It's a huge game for both of them. And the other part here about
I think
the Patriots
it's bigger than for the Buffalo though.
Definitely because it's the Patriots, and
yep.
you know, of course,
and they'll be fine if they lose.
But remember the thing about Belichick: you don't need to motivate motivated players. The Patriots looked motivated last week, but now Bill Belichick has that reason.
Was it a Bungle syndrome, though? How much was it motivated Patriots?
Are you kidding? No way on earth. Yes, the Bungles definitely kind of crapped their pants in the whole situation.
I mean, it's
Tom Brady on the first drive of that game took that team 80 yards and kicked the Bungles in the balls.
Yeah.
And they never recovered from it.
No. So they're going to come out and do it again.
The Patriots have a reason to cocoon themselves off now. You know the respect card that teams throw around?
Well, the Patriots have been thrived on that since 2001.
And now it's genuine.
Yeah.
And now it's genuine.
They've
remember
that,
right
underdog.
Before the Eagles Super Bowl, you have those videos of Belichick going, well, if you wanted to know, on the cover of the Philadelphia Inquirer, here's the parade route for Monday for after they beat us.
Yep.
And da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And remember, Pittsburgh already has their bags packed. They're in the hallway ready to go for that AFC Championship game a couple of years earlier. That's that Patriots, like, you know, close off the world mentality.
No, it's the bulletin board, and they thrived off the bulletin board for over a decade.
And
it seems like they're
now,
in this position again. Yep.
They're loading up the bulletin board with stuff from WEEI,
from all around the league. The Patriots aren't what they used to be. Tom Brady's not what they used to be. Belichick's not what he used to be. Really?
Okay.
Okay.
We're just going to shut up and do our jobs.
I'm 100% with you.
That's why I'm
I just
there.
Feel that Buffalo steps up and upsets the Patriots this week.
All right, we're kicking off into the 4 o'clock games with San Diego has to go to that cesspool and the black hole. San Diego Superchargers have to go to Oakland to face the
0-4 Oakland Raiders against the 4-1 San Diego Chargers.
There's no question in my mind the bolo-wearing badass...
Bolo. Yeah, I'm gonna go with San Diego.
Yeah, without a doubt. A deceptively difficult game to pick. Chicago at Atlanta.
Oh boy, I tell you, Atlanta.
Chicago
not
needs this so badly. Dude.
Good.
Chicago
man.
Needs this so badly.
They're 2-3.
Yep.
Okay. And they're 2-3 in second place in the NFC South. That tells you how bad the NFC South is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 2-3. Chicago also 2-3, except they're in the basement of the NFC North. This is a huge game for Chicago.
Yep.
Because if Minnesota wins,
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Start to bury Chicago before the turn.
Yep.
And that's not a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the NFC North right now is definitely
a
Falcon
up.
Fan.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're Falcon fans this weekend.
So I'm going with Chicago here.
Yeah, I mean, I just haven't seen enough from Atlanta. I thought that they were going to prove everybody wrong about last year.
I watched Hard Knocks and they just
no. Quit. Yeah, we talked about this at the beginning of this.
Right before the season started. Yep, yeah, the Hard Knocks showed me that Atlanta doesn't have it.
Nope, they're not a team. Because they're not a team.
Nope, they're not.
So you're picking Chicago?
Correct.
Where are they playing, sir?
At Atlanta. So it does. It's one of those things. I think the site is, you could have a neutral site, irrelevant. I got to go Chicago. Now,
So we differ on four already, so I don't need to be a contrarian here. I'll go with Chicago as well.
All right, we got Giants.
Handily, actually.
I'm sorry. We got Washington at Arizona. Arizona
all day. They're leading their division at 3-1, and they're only doing that over Seattle at 3-1 because Seattle hasn't played a division game yet.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, Arizona is 1-0 in their division. Therefore, they get the nod in the standings. But I got Arizona all day.
Now, that's interesting that you brought up Seattle because I got Arizona too. Now, Dallas goes and visits Seattle. And this is my sentence that I say about the Cowboys one game every year.
Yep.
The Cowboys, this is exactly the type of game the Cowboys can win and won't.
Yep.
But I have to put a big butt, and I cannot lie on this one.
Yep.
The reason I'm putting a big butt on this is the Cowboys
ever-widening pancake ass.
The Cowboys may have started to turn a corner.
I think they have. They've been playing better. They're more cohesive.
Running the ball.
Yep. DeMarco Murray, by the way, we got it. We got
number one running back in the NFL.
Everybody's going to be watching this game. I'll tell you why. If DeMarco Murray rushes for 100 yards.
Correct.
He breaks Eric Dickerson's record.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
has
rushed six games in a row to start the season 100 yards each game.
Correct.
So he just tied first time since 1975.
That's nobody. Nobody. Now, I want to say a couple of names. Walter Payton. Emmitt Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall Faulk.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go on? I don't think I need to.
Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Well, his son running from him. he didn't break it either.
That was brutal. I gotta take the pick in me, take Seattle.
Yeah.
But my heart says
Seattle.
This is definitely a game the Cowboys can win. But
right, but I believe you see him probably losing by about 4 points.
Yeah.
Coming close.
Inside of a touchdown.
You know, a little bit they're down a little bit.
Yeah.
Make a push at the end, but just fall short.
Sure.
Okay.
It's kind of like the
Denver.
Classic.
Yeah. Like Denver.
Like exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The game I was talking to you about last year.
Yep.
Earlier, Eric and I, as we were kind of prepping for our show, we were talking about some of these games. And I had mentioned last year, Cowboys and the Broncos played to one of the most ridiculous games of the season last year.
Mm.
100 points scored in the game. And the Broncos won by a field goal in the fourth quarter. Before that game actually kicked off, I was talking to anybody who would listen to me saying, this is the game the Cowboys can win and won't. And this is exactly
Cowboys. Your Cowboys are 4-1, man.
Not for long, because every 8-8 team needs to win eight games.
Just saying,
I know
they're 4-1.
That's why
we didn't call this at the beginning of the year.
No, we had them 8-8. Yep. Like we
had them at 8-8, but we had them finishing 8-8 strong.
Yeah, finishing strong because their schedule actually starts to go downhill.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, after the first game they lost.
Yep.
I was like, all right, this is what I'm expecting to see from them until again they start to make the push. But I got to tell you, again, I'm not a Dallas fan, but I'm pleasantly surprised at how they've come together after that loss to be 4-1.
See?
With Philadelphia, you know, at top of the NFC East.
Remember.
And Giants popping back either from going 0-2, looking absolutely awful, winning three games in a row. So,
now, we close up with the Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco at St. Louis.
So Philly and Giants have the bye then.
Oh, I'm sorry. Philly,
do it?
No, Philly and Giants are playing the Sunday night game.
I was going to say, I'm like, I didn't hear those two teams say they must have a bye, but
yeah,
all right.
Philly and the Giants,
where are they playing?
At Philly, at night, $200 ticket on NBC. I got to go Philly. I think Philly's offense is just running. And
no,
by the way, their offense, their defense has scored almost as many points as their offense have this year.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to pick Philly. Is more for their defense. I think Giants are going to have a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, what they've done this year, the Giants, they can absolutely blow them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I'm going to pick Philly.
Yeah.
You're picking Philly as well?
I am. All right. Now then we go into San Francisco at St. Louis on Monday night. That's only because the flex scheduling hasn't begun yet.
What was it? I'm sorry?
San Francisco at St. Louis.
Oh, I'm picking St. Louis in that game. Absolutely.
Really?
I am. I'm definitely picking St. Louis. I tell you, man, that with their running backs and with their defense, they just need their quarterback to not lose the game for them. I firmly believe that. If their quarterback does not lose this game for them, I have St. Louis winning this game and going to 2-3 instead of 1-3.
Okay. I'm going to take San Francisco. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't argue the logic in it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I just got a feeling that St. Louis is going to surprise on Monday night. That's my upset of the week.
All right, I'll go with that. Pretty much as expected during the course of the week, there'll be some upsets, there'll be some fun games, there'll be some less than fun games. But there's been a theme to most of the show after the fact of the welcome back and the kind of goofing around.
What's that theme, Ted?
The theme is, how do you respond from getting beat? How do you respond from getting punched in the face? We talked about Tennessee. We talked about the years of futility after 1985.
Talk about
Casey.
The Bungles.
We talked about the
Bengals. How are
they
going to respond after getting their asses kicked by Patriots?
So how does a team respond after getting punched in the mouth? When you have an image in your mind of Mike Tyson crawling around on all fours looking for his mouthpiece after getting throttled against Buster Douglas, it all comes down to, how do you respond? It all shows everything about your character.
Sure does.
So, for Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social,
I am Eric.
And I'm Ted. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at EricAndTedICS.
And our website at EricAndTed.com.
Facebook at Facebook.com/EricAndTed.
And iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Together and we'll get it undone someday when your head is much lighter.
You go, man, you go.
Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun someday when the world is much brighter.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter. Be brighter.
Someday!
Someday!